Thank God. Well, let's turn over to James 1:26 quick. We've been talking about our mouth, watching our mouth, paying attention to what comes out of our mouth. Thank you, God. This is so important. Glory to God. Everybody have a sheet, scripture sheet? Anybody not have a scripture sheet or a Bible? Does anybody need a Bible or a scripture sheet? All set? Now's the time. Thank God. Verse 26, James 1. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. We've read this and we've gone on to other scriptures, kind of built on it over several weeks. We don't have time to go back and review all that. I encourage you to take advantage of the messages on the website. But we've been focusing in on our mouth. Here it says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious, or we could say if anyone among you thinks he's spiritual, a good Christian. You know, I'm a spiritual person. Here's a gauge. If anyone thinks he's religious or spiritual, does not bridle his own tongue, but deceives his own heart. We talked about that. When you speak things that you ought not, you deceive yourself. Don't override what God is telling you to do in any area. When you override what you know that you shouldn't do, but you do it anyway, you dull your spiritual, your attentiveness. If you know you should not do something, God's dealt with you, and I'm not talking about you know, you did something, you failed unconsciously, or something slipped, or, you know, let the pressure get to you, whatever. I'm not talking about that. When I'm saying you know what you should do, God said don't do that. And knowing, you take a step and you do it anyway. You dull yourself in the inside. You deceive yourself. You open yourself up to be deceived. If we know what we should do, I shouldn't go there. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't say that. By God, I'm going to say it anyway. That's dangerous. We're opening ourselves up to things we don't want to come to pass. We open ourselves up. We're basically, because who's putting pressure on you to do something against what God would tell you to do? If it's not godly, and God told you not to do it, but you're feeling pressure to do it, where's that pressure coming from to bear? Who are you yielding to if you give in? You're yielding to the enemy. And so, when you know to do something, don't say, I can't help but do that. You're siding with the enemy. You're taking sides against God at that point. If you say, I just can't help it, at that point you're siding against God and yielding to the enemy. What we ought to do at that point is say, God, you told me not to do this. By your grace, I'm standing right now. Regardless of the pressure, I'm going to do what you told me to do. And you'll find grace and help come at that point when we talk in line with the Word of God. But he said, the person that does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And I left that on your sheet this morning, didn't I? You have the definition for useless on your sheet? This is what the Greek word means. I've been telling you, I just thought I'd just put it on the sheet so you don't have to try to write it down or whatever. It means fruitless. Now this is what that Greek word translated means. This is, you know, has a lot of connotations. Fruitless, empty, futile, frivolous, hollow, unreal, unproductive, lacking substance, trifling, ineffectual, void of results, devoid of force, success, or utility, worthless. We went over that a few different times, different areas. But I wanted to spend some more time. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago. When you're, as far as our mouth is concerned, when you have pressure to say something, you could say, or do something, we're talking about our mouth this morning, say something that you ought not, and there's pressure to do that. We talked about this a couple weeks. That's coming from somewhere, is coming from the enemy. And you can yield to that. You can yield to that just like you can yield to the Holy Spirit. Your mouth is in one sense neutral. I mean, it can be used for good or evil, but we can yield our mouth either way, and you could do this. You could yield it one way, one minute, and the wrong way the next minute. Just because you become, you think, spiritual and beyond a certain point, therefore I won't have problems with my mouth, you're wrong. You could still yield it to the wrong thing, no matter how long you've walked with God. And so we need to be on guard for that. We need to realize what's going on when we're feeling that pressure. But I want to spend some more time there. We did spend some time a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to go a little bit more in that direction. Matthew 16, let's turn over there. We see an example of this happening. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, before we go there, if you're already at Matthew, you can hold your place there. But let's go over to 2 Peter first. I think we'll do it that way. Let's go down to 2 Peter. And we'll get to Matthew in a moment. We believe God is helping us right now. Amen? Amen? He's helping us to get what we need right now. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. It says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning..." Am I reading the right thing? Oh, I started in 19. I just put 20 on there. Okay, we can start there. "Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." We could go off there. We're not going to, but just to say this, you know, that means Scripture. Some people will say, "Well, I believe that Scripture means this." And you have another person, "Well, I believe it means this." It means one thing. God can speak to you different ways, but there's no private interpretation. There is something that God was trying to say. Some people, "Well, we just don't see it that way." Well, how do you interpret Scripture? You interpret it in light of other Scripture. So if you believe something, you need to have, for something to be scriptural, you need to have scriptures to believe it. And we have to know this because we all have some bit of religion in us to some degree. That's your unrenewed mind. And we're getting it renewed. Like right now, we're renewing our mind, reprogramming it to what's in here. But if we just find ourselves, "Well, I just believe such and such." If we have Scripture that contradicts it and says something else, we better look at it and say, if that contradicts our belief and it shows up that our belief is in fact not scriptural, what needs to change? The Bible? No, our belief. So when this happens, some of us think that we know what the Word says, and there's certain things we heard somebody preach it, but we don't actually know what the Word says. And when we see the Word, that's why we look at the Word when I'm preaching. you know, it's either on that sheet, but I encourage you, you know, we do that for the sake of time and for some different things, some different translations, but put your eyes on the page and you see what it says, it will increase your understanding. Say, well, I'm just listening. That's good. But you will find your understanding and your spiritual enlightenment will go up as you look at the Scripture. The Holy Spirit will quicken it. You'll see it. Some people, sometimes you're translating without knowing it in your mind. You're hearing a Scripture, somebody starts quoting it, and in your mind, you're interpreting it the way you heard somebody else say it. You're not even looking at it. And sometimes when you put your eyes on the page, you start saying, what? That does say that, doesn't it? And then you have a choice. Then we have a choice. Are we going to go with what we believe before, or are we going to go with what the Word says? Because it doesn't matter what any individual says. If it doesn't line up with the Word, throw it out. If it's not the Word, if I say it, doesn't you can't substantiate it here, throw it out. Brother Hagin used to say, I don't think we wrap our minds around certain things. We hear people say things like that. He would say when he's ministering, he would minister to people, you know, as the Spirit would lead. At the end, you know, he stood in the office of a prophet. And he would sometimes give words to people or whatever. And he said, if it doesn't bear witness with you what I'm saying, throw it out. I'm a man, I could miss it. But so many people, they don't think that. They think, yeah, I know you're saying that, but you're Brother Hagin, you've been, or whoever, and you've been walking on the earth with God for, you know, 60 plus years. And if you say it, it's, you know, pretty good chance it's God, so I'm going to take it. Don't do that. I said, don't do that. I don't care who gives you a quote-unquote word. If it doesn't bear witness, if I give you something, I can miss it. If I say something and it doesn't bear witness with you in here, throw it out. Throw it away. But this word isn't going anywhere. If it's in here, you can bank on it. Okay, so this isn't private interpretation. This is, what are you saying, Lord? You got to watch new revelations. There isn't anything new. There's things that are being restored. You know, it wasn't new when Martin Luther nailed that piece of paper to that door about that it's by faith and not by works. That wasn't new. That was being restored to the church. And things came when the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened at the beginning of this century, or last century, 1900s. That wasn't new. That was the church getting a hold of what already belonged to. And we can read Acts and see there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's not new. That's been here since day one. How do we know that? We can read the Word. We can. If it's not, that's why we have this Bible, so that men's doctrines don't muddy everything up. We can come back to the standard and say, is it here or not? If it's here, we can go with it. You know, healing is not new. It's in, go look in Acts. It's all through Jesus' ministry. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing over and over and over. I don't know how some people throw that out. Passed away? Scripture. Where's the Scripture? Hallelujah. Don't know why we're saying all that, but it's good anyway. I'm not going to take it back. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Notice he's saying this is how Scripture came to be. The Holy Spirit moved men. That's how this word was inspired. This word is perfect. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or spoke moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how this Scripture came to be. They were moved. They spoke how? They're moved by the Holy Spirit. Now let's just read a few more scriptures along that line. Let's look at your sheet. We're going to go over a few of them for the sake of time because they're in different places. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. It says, "Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue." Notice that. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. Can the Lord inspire you to say something? Can you yield to God to say something? Yes, you can. Luke 1:69. "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets who have been since the world began." And He who? God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets who have been since the word began. The world began. Acts 1:15 says, "In those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, although altogether the number of the names was about 120, and said, 'Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas.'" The Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David. The Holy Spirit spoke. You know, you can hear somebody just speaking and all, you know, notice this. You can be talking to somebody in the foyer. This doesn't have to be in a church service. You can be speaking to somebody and somebody is saying something to you, and all of a sudden something changes and they're not speaking just them, the Holy Spirit speaking through them. There's a definite difference. There's a weight. There's times when I'll be speaking something and then it's the, you know, just talking in the announcements or whatever, but then the Holy Spirit, it's like it's a greater unction, a greater oomph that the Lord said. The Lord inspires utterance, but then there's certain things it's just Him. Acts 3:17, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets." God foretold. Notice, it's God. "But He foretold by the mouth of all His prophets." One more, 1 Peter 1. "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." God can speak through you. You can yield to... So God can flat out speak through you like what we're seeing here. You can yield to the Spirit of God. You can stop it too. God does not control people. He doesn't take you over and start moving your mouth. We yield to Him and let Him flow through us. And we have... There's different levels of that. Just on a normal basis, we can just yield to the Spirit that's inside of us and yield to what that Spirit man that's been born again, the Holy Ghost in there, the love of God, just let the love of God come out. When you say things, it's just love speaking. God, you will always yield. When you yield and it's God, it will always be love. Period. Brother Hagin tells a story. I don't know if I said this a few weeks ago. We've said it before. But there was a lady. He was ministering to her, talking to her when he was on the road. And he spoke with this couple after service. And they had, they were having a meal. And the lady said, I have a problem. And he said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "I hate my mother-in-law." And he said, "You know, I let her get in a little deeper before I pulled her out." He said, "Well, if a born-again person, they can't hate." I mean, you have love shed abroad in your heart, so you can't hate. And you could just, he said, you could just see the look on her face, because she's thinking, well, what's with me then? But she said, no, I hate my mother-in-law. And he said, no, if you're truly born again, you can't hate your mother-in-law. And he said, now what I want you to do is say, I hate my mother-in-law. And she said, I hate my mother-in-law. And he said, now say it again and tell me what's going on the inside when you say it. Yeah. And so she said, I hate my mother-in-law. And he said, now what was going on the inside? He said, she said, there's something scratching me down there. He said, that's the love of God trying to get your attention. He said, you don't really hate your mother-in-law. The real born-again you does not hate your mother-in-law. The love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. You're just yielding to your flesh. You're yielding to your fleshly nature. You're not yielding to the Spirit of God. And so, you know, she changed some things, went on, and I don't know if it was her or somebody else, but he said, act as if you loved your mother-in-law. Act that way. You know, we just got done with Thanksgiving. Families come together. You know, there can be different things going on. This would help us as we go into Christmas and this time of year. But he said, act the way, do what you would do if you loved her. So how would you act and what would you say if you loved her? And she started doing that. Invited her over for some sandwiches and talked to her. And you know, after a while, she said, I don't hate my mother-in-law. She's not a bad person. I mean, we actually get along pretty good. And it smoothed things over. But notice this. What you let come out of your mouth, you will follow. If you say, I hate such and such, you will begin to drift that way. And things that did not bother you or things that have bothered you will be magnified. On the other hand, if somebody grates on your nerves, but you start saying, I love that person, you will start drifting that way. You will follow your mouth. My pastor shared this openly in Lincoln, Nebraska. You know, I don't know how many times I heard him say this from the pulpit, so I don't think he'd mind me saying this. He said he and his wife were pretty much near divorce years ago, decades ago. And just, he said, I just couldn't hardly stand her anymore. I didn't want to be around her. I didn't feel any love, no love feelings, no anything. And he felt like he was at the end of his rope and that marriage was dying. And he went to God. And God told him, you start saying you love her. You just start saying that you love her. Tell her that you love her. Just start saying it. He said, I don't feel like that at all, though. I don't want to say that. And he said, just start saying it. And he did. And over time, he said at the beginning, he said it was so dry, so fake. Felt like, why in the world am I doing this? All he could do to say, I love you. I love Emily. I love her. But over time, something started changing. As he yielded to what was truly into his heart anyway and yielded his mouth, his feelings followed. Pretty soon, he started having those feelings again for her. He started feeling love. Because love is not a feeling. It's a decision. And so he started doing what his spirit was telling him to do, and in line with that and yielding to that, and he saw a change until their relationship completely turned around. And when I knew him, they had a great relationship. That's how it works. That's contradictory to human reasoning. You say, well, people say, I've just lost that loving feeling. I don't have it anymore. I just don't feel it. Nothing there. You're not going by what's inside. Has God lost that love and feeling? Did God change? If you're married to somebody, I'm sorry to tell you this, that's it. By God's standards, you're supposed to stay with them. Period. And no matter who you're dealing with in life, it'll work with anybody if we'll start yielding our mouth to what is inside instead of what our head... Because you can yield to the flesh just like that lady. I hate my mother-in-law. You know what that was coming from? That's inspired from the outside. That's inspired from your flesh. You're listening to the enemy. But that's not really the real you, real her inside. No, if she would yield to God, God's trying to get her to say, I love my mother-in-law. I think she's okay. And when we yield to that, God is able to work. Say, Lord, I'm just going to align with you. That's what we do. So notice, let's go back. I think we can go over to Matthew, and then we'll go forward a little bit. But Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he goes on to say some other things. Verse 20, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Now look at the next verse. So who was Peter, we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, but who was Peter yielding to at that point? He's yielding to God. Yeah, he's yielding to the Holy Spirit. He's not even born again at this point because Jesus hasn't gone to the Father. He has not laid down his life. But he still yielded to God. Just like David and different people in the Old Covenant, he's yielding to God. We live in a different covenant. We actually have God on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. But here... Verse 21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, for it far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Verse 23, but he turned, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He didn't even say, Peter, shut up, you're in the flesh. He just went right to the source and said, get behind me, Satan. Who's Peter yielding to at this point? He's yielding to Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Notice this. See, Jesus was telling him that he had to go and suffer these things, and Peter might have had good intent, saying, I don't want Jesus to go and suffer. I don't want you to suffer. Far be it from you that you would do that. But he's thinking naturally. Jesus had to go do this. He's not mindful of what Jesus is saying and what his call is, what he has to do for mankind. He's thinking naturally. Sometimes people will tell you something based on the natural, and they may even think they have your good at heart, but they are completely carnal, that means natural, and they're saying something, sounds good, sounds reasonable, but it's of the devil because it's trying to get you out of the will of God. Somebody that loves you in the natural could be family, could say, you know, you really ought to think about this. Are you sure you ought to be doing this? And the thing they're talking about is exactly what God told you to do, but they're looking natural and trying to talk you out of the will of God. Even though they're saying they love you. And they, not to question their love for you, but at that point, they can be yielding to the enemy. Doesn't mean they're demon-possessed. That means no more than Peter was demon-possessed, he's yielding to the enemy. There's a difference. But just like we can yield to God, you can yield to the devil. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. But you can do it like Peter. It doesn't say how long was in between those two times, but probably not years. He yielded to one thing that was of God, and the next time he yielded to the devil. We have to watch this as we walk through the day. You can be yielding to the Spirit of God and going right along, but don't get complacent. Don't think, I hear God. I mean, you could say something. Peter said something, and it was confirmed by Jesus. This is of God. Now, it's easy to get to where you think, I just heard God. It was confirmed. And that means everything that's coming to my mind and I let out of my mouth is God. You don't want to be that way. Because you can be, you get complacent, you can start letting things out of your mouth that are actually the enemy. Now go down to, let's go over to Mark. This is an example of the opposite. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark 5, verse 1. Let's see. Mark 5, verse 1 says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now this guy is demon-possessed. But that doesn't just happen. I'm not going to go into this a lot. Somebody does not just get demon-possessed. They yield to the devil. And they yield to the devil. And they yield to the devil. And they keep yielding to the enemy in ways that they shouldn't. And they give access and place to the enemy. This guy did that, evidently, because he's possessed. But the principle is the same. This is somebody that's given themselves completely over. And their will has something to do with it. We don't have to go into this much. But the person's will had something to do with it. Brother Hagin, I won't say that. We won't go off into that. But you have to know that this man didn't. He wasn't walking down the street one day and just all of a sudden the devil jumped in. That's just not the way it happens, and there's no fear for the child of God. Verse 2, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, see, notice that. The demons are begging him, but where's it coming out of? The mouth. of the man. Now, he is possessed. That's a different level. But the principle's the same. It's not the man saying it anymore. It's demonic, just like Peter. Peter wasn't demon-possessed, but he yielded to the devil. The stuff, the things he let out of his mouth were inspired by Satan. Have all the demons gone away in this day of age? Are they gone? No, some people would like you to, think, well, that's middle age, that's ignorant, that's all passed away. No, it hasn't passed away. There are demons on the earth, but we don't have to be scared of them. We're children of Almighty God, and we'll read here in a minute. We have authority over demons. Greater is he that's in us than he who's in the world. But they do exist, and they are around. And they do inspire. Let me just say this. I'm not making a general statement, because I don't know the conditions of some of these things. But when you see certain things, people go, what possessed this person to do it? It must have been that they're sick. I'm not denying that some people are sick mentally. But I'll just leave it at this. All the demons have not passed away. They are still working on this earth. And people, when they think completely naturally, they miss some things. Because there are things that people look and say, what in the world? How? We didn't see this coming, whatever. The enemy has not just gone to sleep. And we have plenty of examples in here. But I don't want to go off into that. We do not have to be afraid of the enemy in any way, shape, or form. But notice verse 12. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 of the, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So the thing I just wanted you to see is that's an extreme form, but the man's speaking, but it's actually the demon speaking. Now you back it off a little bit. It's what was happening to Peter. The enemy is pressing him, and he's letting that out of his mouth. He's letting those words out of his mouth. And so you and I could go either way. It's not always that you're inspired either way. It could just be your flesh. You just yield to your own flesh. But there is a Spirit of God that's, if you're born again, that's residing in you that you want to yield to. There is an enemy where he's pushing you from the outside that you don't want to yield to. Let's go over to 1 John. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John, go to Ephesians. Hold your finger in 1 John and go to Ephesians 2. I want to read you something before we go there. Thank you, Jesus. God is good to us. I'll tell you what, He's good to us. It's good to know His Word. Ephesians 2:1. Everybody there? It says, and you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. Now notice this. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But notice verse 2. According to the prince, see, he says, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Yielding to the enemy. yielding to do what he would want us to do. He's saying we once walked like that. We're yielding to him. Now go back over to 1 John. First John 2. First John 2, verse 26. Says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you will abide in him. The anointing of God which you receive from him abides in you. What's the anointing? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is in us, works with us. That's who we want to yield to. Skip over to chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Even people that quote Scripture in the world today. There are people that are quoting Scripture and saying that it's God's will that none should perish, so that means everybody's going to heaven. You don't have to believe in Jesus. There are people that used to be very much in the forefront of the work of God, speaking godly things, having big churches, that have completely gone off into this doctrine, saying God will never send anybody to hell. You don't need to believe in God. God loves the world too much. They're quoting Scripture. They're false prophets. And that's in the world today. That's why we need to look at what the Word says and rightly divide the Word. Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. What is Antichrist? Antichrist means against Christ. Does that mean everything, you know, popping up and looking like the Antichrist? No, anything that speaks against Jesus or the need for Jesus or that all ways lead to heaven, you don't need a Savior. You know, it doesn't mean that you just have to go through Jesus. Those are all Antichrist. And it's on the rise in this world. Nope. That may be politically correct, but it is not Bible. God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's tight, but that's right. That's narrow. But he said the narrow way. Many go by the broad way of destruction. But he said, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What's he talking about? These other spirits, the things that, you know, would try to influence you or speak ungodly things, the one that's in you is greater than all that, greater than he who is in the world. We haven't digressed. We're still talking about our mouth. We yield to the one that's inside of us. Don't yield to other influences. When you feel tempted to say something outside, to tear somebody else down, to say something that's ungodly, you recognize the source and stop it and don't let it come out of your mouth. And realize that the God of all creation resides in you. If he's in you, you can say what you need to say in every situation. You do not need to yield it and speak it out, because by doing that, you're yielding to the wrong thing and you're letting the wrong thing have place in your house, in your family, in your job, in your body. If the devil, the enemy, is putting pressure on you with your body, don't yield to him and say, well, I just don't know how I'm ever going to be healed. Why is this happening and why is that happening? Do not yield to him. Speak the word. Say what the word says. Cast those other things down. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians 10 and we'll close there. 2 Corinthians 10. A lot of scripture today, but gives you some things to look over. 2 Corinthians 10. This is armament. This equips you. This, when we realize what is going on in the battlefield of our lives, in that there is an enemy that's trying to influence for evil, but we know the Spirit of God is there in us to influence for good, and if we'll just know that I can yield myself to Him and what He's doing, it changes our outlook, and it helps us to resist the things that need to be resisted and yield to the things that we need to yield to. Let's look at verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You stop right there. Most people are not thinking this way. Most people are just what we see, what we feel, what we can touch, that's all there is. So if somebody at work is giving me a problem, they're the problem. Again, we're not saying everybody's demon-possessed, but there is an influence in this world of the enemy. And so we are not walking just according to this natural world. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or not natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Anything that would rise up, any philosophy, any doctrine, any thought, any pressure to say something, when it rises up and tries to get you to speak something or to act something, if it does not line up with this book, doesn't line up with what the Spirit of God is prompting you on the inside, love, you cast it down and say, I will not let that come out of my mouth. I will not say that. I will not yield to that for one moment. Well, just say the one thing. Just, you can get pressure to bear to say something. You know you shouldn't say it, but the pressure is there. You can just feel it coming out. We can resist that. And we realize what's going on. I will not say that. I will not let that come out into my home. I will not pollute the atmosphere and shut it down, recognize its source, because it won't always sound like the devil. And herein lies the rub. If the devil always came to you and said, this is the devil, I'm trying to destroy your life, if you'll say these next few sentences, you'll be on the wrong track for the next 48 hours. Here we go. Yeah, repeat after me. The devil's stupid, but he's not that stupid. No, it comes more like this. I'm going to lose my job. I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table. What are we going to do about our child? It doesn't look like they're going to get through this sickness or whatever. What is going on? I don't know how I'm going to pay for school. I don't know if our relationship is going to make it. I don't know if I love him or her anymore. Why do we ever have this child? That's the way it sounds. It doesn't sound like him. It sounds somewhat true. Or it could be true. Or it might be, things might look like they're going that way. And this is exactly what he does. He's a deceiver. Ever been in a fun house? Things aren't the way they appear. Smoke and mirrors. Looks like it could be right, but not sure. This is how he operates, and this is where the devil thrives, is on deception and ambiguity and maybes and half-truths, lies. So when you hear something like that, how do you know what to reject and what to hold on to? If it doesn't agree with this, your filter should block it. If it's not true, it may feel true, it may look true, but if it's not true based on what God said, you do not let it come out of your mouth. We say, no, I will not say that. That's a lie. It may feel like it's true. You may want to say it. You may want to just let everything spill out because you've been under pressure. But the Word of God stands for all time, for all men. And if we'll yield to the greater one inside of us in the middle of that and say, God, I don't see how your Word is going to work here. This feels this way. You don't even have to say any of that. You may be thinking that as you come Him. But if you'll just say, God, you're true. God, your word's true. This will get you through some tough places right here. If you are in a situation where you're being pressed, if you'll just do this, look up through your ignorance, through what you don't understand, and say, God, I don't understand all this, but one thing I know is that you're true. You are faithful, and your word is true, and it will never fail. And I will praise you right now, and I will speak your word regardless of what my circumstances tell me, what I see, feel. I am going to let only godly things come out of my mouth right now. Amen. Don't yield to the other. Don't yield to what the enemy is trying to put in your mouth. Reject it. Stomp it. Shut it down. And let the other come out. Yield to the Spirit of the living God. And when you do that, your inner man is quickened. Because you're giving place to Him. The Spirit of God is in there. You're giving place to the living God to come through in your situation. You're giving place to your spirit man. Your spirit man's quickened and it's strengthened. On the other hand, you start yielding to the other stuff, it drains you. It drains you from the inside out. It'll suck all the life out of you. We don't want to go down that. Your spirit man's grieved. It's just getting. You're draining. Pretty soon you don't have any strength. But if we'll stand up, even when we feel weak physically, and say, the Word says, I have the greater one. Doesn't matter if you've heard that quoted 150 times. That's when it makes a difference, when you're feeling the pressure to say, God, you've said that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. That's true right now. 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 In this, you're true. Right now, greater is He who is in me. Say that after me. Greater is He who is in me than He who is in the world. Say it all in one sentence. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. And believe, just meditate on it right now. Say it again. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. If He's for me, who can be against me? If He's on my side and He's right here, then who does it matter who's out here? It doesn't matter. He's with me now. He's with me in this situation, here, today, now. 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 Right now. The greater one is here. He's with me. Therefore, I will not yield my mouth to anything else. The greater one's with me. I will only yield to Him. I will only yield to the Spirit of God. I will yield what He would say. I reject other thoughts. I reject other phrases or things that would destroy, tear down. That's not of God, and I will not yield to it. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will quicken us to do this, and it will. It's a feedback loop. As we start saying it, we get stronger. As we're stronger, we say it. And as in our the spiritual level rises where we are. And we give God access and place to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet?